never made this world, I didn't even lose it. And I know no one said it was fair, but they had a garden once, they had the chance to choose it. They gave it away, including my share. And now we're lost in the wilderness. Lost, crying in the wilderness.
Good morning, it's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW and Sitka's selection from the musical Children of Eden called Lost in the Wilderness. And we're all kind of humming along here in the studio. W.T. McCrae is here with me. Good morning, W.T.
Good morning.
And it really kind of gets your heart pumping a little, these tunes.
Yeah, the music's exciting and very singable. It's some of my favorite shower selections personally.
All right. So Children of Eden is coming up soon, sooner than you imagine, probably.
Yes, no, I mean, it's always quicker than I can imagine coming, but it's coming. It's the train at the end of all of our tunnel.
Right.
It's here Friday night. We'll be opening at 7 o'clock at the PAC, and the show's going to be wonderful.
Okay, and you are the theater director, and Andrew Hames is the musical director, and right now he's wrangling the kids into rehearsal.
They are warming up and singing right now. Yeah.
Wow. And how long have they been at it? Not long, right?
No, I mean, we started a week ago Sunday, so okay. that was the day that we. The students arrived on campus. We did callbacks, so it gives us a chance to see students and hear them sing pieces from the show. And we cast the show while they eat dinner that first evening, have our first rehearsal Sunday night.
Wow.
Sit around and read the whole story from start to finish.
Wow. And I saw you all staged an excerpt for the TED Talks on Sunday, and it seemed pretty polished to me. I mean, How do you do it? Do you take it scene by scene, or what exactly is the approach? How do you break it down to pull off the show so quickly?
We work through sort of one act at a time. So act one is a little more polished than act two for us because we've had more time with it. But we work sort of gross anatomy down to the fine tooth details. So first we try to just make sure that everybody knows what they're saying, what they're singing, and when to come on and sing it and say it. And then we add a little more choreography and a little more detailing and a little more intention. And I talk about it as sort of, you know, layers of decoration almost. Like I say, if we're lucky, we'll get to add a couple of rhinestones here at the end of the piece.
Okay. And how many kids are involved total?
We have about 30 students, and those students represent a couple in the music track playing in the pit. 4 students working on the sets and the lights and the costumes, and then the rest of them are in the cast.
Wow. And I noticed that are you going to have a very elaborate set for the TED presentation? It's like almost like the chorus, the ensemble sort of formed the set.
Yeah, I mean, we have a beautiful set that's made of different levels and painted, but the students do a lot of the creation of the environment and the changes in the environment. The story is very big, and the environment changes many times. We sort of start with the creation of the universe and move through Eden into the wasteland, and up onto the Ark and the Great Flood. So, you could build set for months to achieve all those things.
It's a big set.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. Do the kids come right out of the regular fine arts camp session and into the high school musical theater camp, or are the kids in this camp there's no like prerequisite that you have to go to the regular fine arts camp session, is there?
No, we do have, you know, we have maybe 5 students that are staying the month, so they did high school camp and stayed over to be in musical theater camp. We've had most of the rest of them came in for right. for the session. This camp goes up a little higher in age than the high school session.
Right.
So we take kids up through their sophomore year of college. So we've got a couple of kids who have a year of college or two under their belt.
And they don't really know what the show is much in advance of camp, right?
No. I mean, it's a long process for us to choose it. So we look at video auditions in January, February when they start registering and choose material based on the students that it looks like we're getting. you know, if we only get four boys, we're not going to do a show that features 40. That would be a poor choice on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, then we have to go through the process of applying for rights and waiting to see if we can do a production of the show. So we announce very close to camp what they're going to be doing.
Right. And did you and Andrew, are you and Andrew really familiar with this show? I mean, is it a personal favorite? I mean, I enjoy Broadway, but I had never seen this show. And in fact, I went to sort of look it up, and it hasn't been on Broadway, even though Stephen Schwartz is one of the biggest names in Broadway. This show is sort of has an underground life of sorts almost.
Yeah, I mean, this show, to answer both your questions, this show is one I did in college, so it was one that I have a soft spot for.
Okay.
I played father in a production. It was my last show I did at university. And the life of the show has been really interesting. It started as a piece written for a summer camp, which was called Family Tree at the time, and was adapted for the West End theaters of London. And it just didn't do very well there, which could have been for any number of reasons. But the reviews weren't great. People didn't sing the production, and so any interest by producers in the U.S. just didn't move it here to Broadway. It eventually got a pretty great run at the Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey, which is a fantastic regional theater. And that's the production that was published. That's the one that we're working from, is their book and score.
Mm-hmm.
And for the company that licenses this work, Musical Theater International, it's their most licensed work. It's sort of an anomaly in that way. Usually Broadway success is a direct linkage to how much people want to put on subsequent productions of the show, but this one has a life all its own.
Yeah, it's kind of taken off. Yeah. I wonder if that the West End, you know, when it was panned in London, if people were just expecting another Godspell, or if the bar was set so high by Schwartz with his previous shows that people were, I don't know, expecting something different. But the show is lively. It's fun.
It's hard to tell with theater. I mean, you know, sometimes theater just misses its moment in a number of ways. There are productions, I see productions come and go in New York, and every once in a while we'll see something that is on Broadway that I think is fantastic. And for a number of reasons, it just doesn't last. It doesn't stand the test of time, or, you know, reviewers can make or break a show sometimes in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
If they say they hated it, nobody goes to see it. They never get to make it better.
Okay. Well, I think we'll probably come out and see this just on your personal recommendation that it's one of your favorite shows from school. And you like it because the songs propel this story along.
I do. Right? You know, the show is the landscape is this epic kind of storytelling that comes from the Bible, but it's ultimately this very simple set of stories about parents and children and the hopes that we invest in our children and the way that families can be complicated. And all of the music moves the story forward in really exciting and dramatic ways. And the show really covers just a broad range of moments you can relate to. We've had, you know, all the adults wandering through our rehearsals, and there are some misty eyes, you know, it gets you.
Interesting. How is the model holding up? I mean, this is your third show. You did Seussical, the musical, and then Bye Bye Birdie before mm-hmm. that. And is it working, this 2-week intensive theater camp? Do you feel the kids are getting the experience that you want them to have?
I think so. I mean, we have a good opportunity to do some training. We have master class every morning, so we spend some time really looking at skills and then applying those skills. It's always just on the edge of madness. The task is almost too big to accomplish. And we all have moments where it's like, is this gonna come together? But, you know, ultimately, it does come together, and I think the students get a chance to... What they reflect to us often is that they didn't know that they could do so much or learn so fast or reach so far. And I think in that way, we get a wonderful opportunity to make them better citizens. You know, the skills of reaching further and working harder and pushing yourselves, that's relevant to engineering and math and art and parenting. You know, it's relevant to any area of their life. Those things last.
Yeah, I think that's an important connection. You know, I saw it with my own kids who went through the fine arts camp programs. WT, we are out of time. We're going to go out with some more Lost in the Wilderness. And this, we think this is the cast recording from the big New Jersey production.
From the Paper Mill Playhouse production.
Yeah, in New Jersey.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. WT and Andrew Hames are co-directing Children of Eden, and it's going to be Friday, 7 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center, Saturday at 7.
And then a Saturday matinee
at 2:30.
Yeah.
Okay, and tickets for this are at Old Harbor Books, as per usual.
Yes, sir.
WT McCrae, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
McDonald's of Sitka is a proud sponsor of Raven Radio, serving up iced coffee and smoothies, as well as other summer treats like McFlurries and cones. McDonald's is open daily in Sitka on Halibut Point Road.